All right, welcome back. We're here with Back in Session. We're your hosts. My name is Demetri Sebastian.
Hey, and I'm Wes Kendall. Welcome back, guys.
And let's go ahead and get it kicked off. So what are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going over some meal prepping strategies, some pro tips and rookie mistakes, some things that's going to help you guys out in the kitchen.
Sweet. You want to go ahead and start from the just from the bottom, like what this actually is, like what you're doing with a meal prep?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, people who are going to be using a meal prep are working towards a goal in the gym because everyone's heard the phrase, you know, abs are built in the kitchen. It's more than 50%. In the kitchen. What is it? Like the phrase, what
oh,
is
it? Was 80-20, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you know, 80% in the kitchen, 20%
let's not start adding
in the
genetics into the theorem, but you know.
Right.
You're fat. That's the reason you don't have you don't have abs. There's no amount of crunches is going to chase away all the burgers and random crap you're eating during the day.
Unless you're, you know, exactly what we're saying, the genetic minority, the elite. You know, it's just not the real thing. It's not the real deal.
Well, it's not real. I think that just the rest of us who live in reality, and it's like, you know, it's like some of us are just hot and thin and awesome, and some of us have like a luxurious way of going through life. But, you know, you and me who live in the ground floor of life, we have to show up and throw everything into containers and go through the week.
Right.
So I guess we'll start off with, you know, you're doing your meal prep. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about macros for at least briefly, because some people are going to have an idea about it. Right. But, you know, like, what are your goals with your macros when you're doing a meal prep?
So my goal is to be protein focused. That's the first thing right off the bat. And there are three macronutrients that we have to be aware of: protein, carbs, and fat. And those make up the foods that you eat. So when I'm scheduling out a good meal, especially for someone who's training in the gym, I like to have protein as their base and then carbohydrates around their workouts as fuel. And then fats, those things are a little bit more up to the person's you know, lifestyle and where they're at in their fitness journey. So that's kind of usually kept to a minimum just because that's extra calories. So
when we're talking about proteins and keeping a high protein, so what I've always heard and what's kind of I dated a girl who was a nutritionist for a little while, and I always went by the 1 pound, 1 gram of protein. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was awesome, and I'm just going to be crushing protein, you know, and getting big. And there was a big argument that she had with me about that. She was saying that, you know, that's a little bit too much, and actually you're pissing most of it out, and it can actually be problematic on your kidneys and stuff. So, like, what do you think is kind of the right amount of protein when you're looking to go through your day?
Well, I would say a big thing that influences your protein intake is how much carbs you're eating. So, yeah, she's right. 1 gram per pound can be too much for some people, and you could be wasting it. But if you're in a very steep caloric deficit and you're limiting carbs, then you need more protein, maybe even more than 1 pound per gram, or 1 gram per pound. And in that case, that's the point. You want to be pissing out the protein you're eating, not pissing out the muscle that you have.
You hear that,
Katie? Does that make sense?
Wes said I was right.
It's like, take that. Reference this episode.
Yeah, because, like, so, you know, what I do is, you know, I use the MyFitnessPal free app that everyone uses. Like, I kind of go off, like, the percentage system because I refuse to pay, like, whatever $10 a month they actually want
for the grams.
And I kind of go, at my point, it's, like, 40%. So I weigh about 190, and so I do about 180 grams of protein. That typically lands me about right and spreads throughout my day. I go on a very low for carbohydrates, which is pure misery, but for how my body processes them, I have to basically just have it at my workout and make it happen. And I have a large amount of fat, and that's mostly just for surviving because my hormones get messed up quick. And that's what I always tell people about the whole like anti-fat trend in the past. It's like, no, that was the sugar industry. Like, this is
people go no fat or crazy.
Oh man, I'm telling you, like, it's messes with everyone's hormones bad if you have no fat in your diet. You know, like, if you're a guy, you're probably going to start having issues with like your sex life, you know, having ED issues with women. Like, it's going to mess with your you know, your period and everything. But I think that's something that I like to stress as far as meal prep goes. It's like, you need to have a bit of everything. And if you want to do the paleo thing or the keto thing or whatever, like, you know, do what you will, make it happen. But at the end of the day, I think there's a, I think that there has to be a balance.
Of course. I mean, that's the thing, is finding that balance, because it's different for everyone. Just like you said, like, your meal plan shouldn't look like the person next to you. If it is, then, like, you're either just getting off, you know, started, or you're not, you know, getting serviced as an individual.
Yeah, and yeah. Controversial opinion of the day. Whenever they have those online meal plans to get from the influencer on Instagram, like, I will let them have their workout one size fits all things. But as far as meal plans go, like, it has to be per individual. If you just get handed something for a 6 month plan with no conversation about you or testing phase or, you know, going through weigh-ins and stuff to balance out what you need and how you're feeling, you're being taken for a run. It's not going to work in the long term.
In the long term, for sure. I would say, like, in my experience, like, the first 1 to 2 months, you can get away with a generalized plan just because you're learning how to eat. But then once you actually start making progress and you get through your first plateau, you're going to need some specialization.
I think I am unfair on that. I think since we're at in our lifting, it's like whatever you want to have the opinion on it. I think the people who are just starting out are always going to be able to, one size fits all is great for you because you need to relearn how to do something. go on a walk for 2 miles, eat some green stuff,
right?
Don't eat donut. It's like those are really obvious things to some people, but other people it's just like, okay, yeah, but it's hard, right? So let's do the easy thing first,
right,
while it's still hard, and then we'll build up to something more complicated. How do you typically, what does a meal prep look like for you? What day of the week? How do you handle it?
Well, of course, you know, the ideal time is meal prep Sunday for, you know, all us Instagram people.
Yeah. I hate that's the worst day of the week.
Yep. Meal prep Sunday. So that's usually when I get it going. What I'll do is I'll make enough food and then I'm going to prep. So I'll be ready for the first day of the week. I like to prep my lunches only. So I'll cook breakfast my own or have a shake. I'll prep for 2 lunches. And then when I get home from work, I'll have another meal.
That makes me so happy that you said that, because I felt like a giant turd since the beginning of time. Breakfast prep, it just doesn't really make sense. There's some easy things you can do for that. But I refuse to prep dinner.
Yeah.
And it's because I know that I can make my lunch is the same thing all the time, mm-hmm. but like I need to have a little bit of dynamic there. You know, if the girlfriend wants to go out, I can find something healthy that's going to fit the end of my macros, or if I want to change it up at home or something. But I think that's one of the biggest tips is you can do is just like allow yourself a little bit of flexibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're competition prepping or something, then that's a different conversation. But if this is just general wellness, holy cow, you're going to burn yourself out if your every single meal of your day is planned out and there's no changing it over the week.
Yeah, just for the long-term sustainability.
So are you typically a stovetop or an oven guy or grill? Like, personally, I'm a grill guy. Like, I don't prep my dinners,
right?
But I do have a plan and I try and do everything on the grill. As far as like my lunch prep though, it's almost all oven and stove.
Yeah. I mean, I prefer the grill. Obviously that's, you know, going to taste the best. But what I like to do is I'll use the slow cooker if I have time, or the Instapot, because I'll get into this on.
So what do you mean by an Instapot?
It's like a faster slow cooker. It's like a pressure cooker, slow cooker.
Pressure cooker. Okay. Yeah. So it's a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
Those things are dangerous.
I mean, this one's pretty modern. I mean, it's like.
Back in the day, you get like a bean stuck in like the spout on top, and you're at risk of blowing up your whole home. So okay, so how much faster is the Instapot?
So I could do what takes the slow cooker 5 hours to do in like 30 minutes in the Instapot.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I might need to look into this.
It's actually pretty. I mean, not to plug them because I wish that they would sponsor us or something cool like that. But the Instapot like is pretty dummy proof. Like I've accidentally went to open the pressure before I like released the valve and it didn't let me, and I was like, oh thank god,
that was that's why I don't use, like, my dad has like horror stories of like the 90s when pressure cookers like it takes 30 minutes but you might die.
Yep. It's basically an at-home IED.
Exactly. You know? it's fine, I'm fine, my food cooks so fast, I only lost all the skin on my face.
It's like, do you value your life or time?
Time every single time.
Yep. Yeah, so that I'll use that, because What I like to do with my food is I like to disguise the protein, because that's like the majority of what I'm eating. I'm eating between, you know, 4 and 6 ounces per serving at least, which is a decent amount. And that's one thing I forgot to mention is, like, if you're doing these meals, you want to at least get about 4 ounces of the protein, or else you're not sending the right signal to your muscles. It's an all or nothing signal that gets sent for muscle growth or repair. And if you're not hitting that minimum, then you're almost like wasting that window.
Is there such thing as too much protein at one time?
Yes and no. You have to find out where that is for you. You can handle as much protein as you can handle, but you'll notice if you hit that point, you'll be in the bathroom. You know, it's like, oh, I just had too much protein. I'm kind of having an incident in the bathroom.
Now. I think that's the concept of like protein farts. It's always like something you made fun of in high school because we were all like just now starting to take protein. Like, I don't get those now as an adult. Like I'll get home and typically my evening looks like usually like 9 ounces of some kind of protein.
Right.
And then before I go to bed, I have like 2 scoops of protein powder.
Right.
And my gastric system has not a single thought about it. Mm-hmm. But I have certain friends that if they did that, they're like, how do you not shit your pants? And it's like, well, because like my gut flora has gotten used to it. That's just how it expects at this point.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, and also the more time you spend in the gym, you'll notice, hey, I'm craving more protein and I'm able to eat more protein just because you've been taxing your body that way for so many years that it's come to need that and expect it.
You're actually super right. It used to be almost impossible here as a kid. Like I preferred like the bread on everything as far as like pizza goes. Like it was all about like the crust of it and everything. Mm-hmm. It was sweets, bread, all of that stuff. Like my whole entire life revolved around carbs.
Right.
And I mean, I still do love carbs. That's a constant battle for the rest of my life.
We all do.
But I think that the hard part is always going to be learning to eat all that protein. It's a tall order, especially for people who have a lighter frame who are trying to gain weight.
Well, always is.
So you typically do the crock pot. That's like what you prefer to do. That's your preferred method, at least.
The grill or the crock pot. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get into my favorite recipes. We got to do that at the end and how I use it. But basically, with I'll do those two methods if I have time. Sometimes, like, I will do a one-pan recipe, which I think are pretty nice.
Okay.
So that's, like, not necessarily including the carb source or anything else additional, but it's basically, like, where you cook the whole recipe in one pan to minimize dish buildup.
Okay, see, we were talking about that before we actually started recording, is one of the things that makes Meal Prep Sunday an absolute disaster is just, like, keeping up with, like, the dishes.
Right.
And that concept of, like, finding the one pan and making it happen, it can be a complete game changer because I despise
dishes.
Like, I think if I had to pick my worst thing, it's laundry. Like, folding things, it makes me want to, like, blow my brains out. But nothing sucks more than when you have like 8 pots stacked on top of each other, all with a different crust on them. And of course, you decided to wait 30 minutes to an hour to make that happen. So you kind of want to be careful when you're picking those recipes that you're doing for your meal prep. Because if you're, you know, if you're on top of dishes and you have good kitchen management, more power to you. But if you're like the rest of us, you kind of have to like
struggle
when you're looking online, these recipes and stuff. If you're starting to see about it and you're going to have to split this between like 8 pots. You might want to reconsider it, or you can come up with other options, like things like, okay, well, I need to make like a gravy or a vinaigrette for this. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go full Betty Crocker and make everything. There's things in aisles for this.
Right.
So if you want to save yourself some time, save yourself some misery, you can find yourself things that are going to fit into your macros and still make it taste good and fit into that. I'm just not one of those people who's on the all natural train of things. Is it a better way to live? Yes. But when we're talking about time versus money versus actual effectiveness, I think it pays off in the end.
Pick your poison, right?
Yeah, exactly. What do you want to be? Like, you know, if I was, you know, in a wealthier state or something where I had like a head chef and he showed up with like a bottle of the vinaigrette already made, like, oh, hey, bud.
Yeah, it's like,
what are we doing here? But as far as I'm concerned, when I'm checking on myself, let's just go ahead and go with the easy route.
Right. Save the time. I mean, at the end of the day, we're basically eating for work, not for pleasure, for the majority of our meals. So it's like, if you're going to go all out and have that kind of time, then, you know, that's probably taking away from something else that you should be doing, in my opinion.
Did you find it difficult to change that thought process, the whole concept of eating for fuel instead of eating just because it was enjoyable?
Yes, I really did. And the turning point for me was at a certain point, when your body gets used to like having those 5-6 meals a day, when you stray away from that, you actually feel like shit. You know, you feel bad, you feel like weak, you feel like even nauseous sometimes. Like, I was like, wow, I don't even feel good. My body is so accustomed to having those multiple meals that when I took them out, I didn't feel normal. That's how I know that I'd made it, you know?
Yeah. Mine was more of a mental hurdle. It was just because, like, food tastes good. I, like, when I'm bored, I wanted to eat. That was always what it was. And it's even today, like, I'll have to, like, I have, like, these, like, snacks that are, like, 0 calories, like pickle. A pickle is awesome. Or, like, veggies or something like that.
Right.
It's because I just have, like, this concept in my head, like, I need to be eating something. Like, I'm bored. Like I want to have a snack. I have the or zero calorie sodas have really helped me a lot too. Like the zero calorie ginger ale,
kind of
zero calorie like Sprite stuff, like stuff without caffeine in them. Like I mean, maybe it has some kind of aspartame or something that's gonna kill me later, but that's later me's problem.
Let them deal with that.
But it kind of gives me a little bit of volume, at least gets my mind something to work with, so that I'm not thinking about it as we're like, you know, sitting there.
Do you set like goals like, oh man, if I do good and I hit this workout, then when I get home, I'm going to have that little cookie or something like that?
You know, I'm backwards with it.
Yeah.
So I'll basically be getting out of work and I'm like, I'm not making dinner tonight. Like, I'm going to go get me a big old fiesta burrito, like something like carne asada with the french fries in the burrito. And I'm about to mess my day up.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, so I got to really hit it hard at the gym right now to make this worth it. Like, so I've already decided I'm going to do something bad. So okay. I have to pay my penance.
I feel that.
That's how I go. Some people are great. Like, if I do this amount of homework, then I earn this candy. Like, no, I was never that guy. It's just like, I've been blowing this off for weeks.
Yeah.
We are going to do this now. Right. I'm a very, very negative headspace guy. My inner voice is total asshole.
It's time to do it now.
Like there's no more apologies. So we were talking about something that you actually blew my mind. This happened like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So the concept of, we were talking about containers and what people use, and you were saying that you need to make sure you put the chicken in the container and then wait and let it cool down.
Oh my God.
Before you put it in the refrigerator. And I thought that and I learned this a while ago, obviously, but I guess I just never considered it, was that when you put that hot meal straight into a fridge, you're just asking for a congealed mess.
Oh, so gross, isn't it? That's what the struggle chicken came from, the term.
Yeah, the struggle chicken, we're talking about the chicken broccoli and then maybe some rice if you're being kind to yourself or something. Mm-hmm. I think that the meal prep has come such a far away, but in the beginning it was sad. It was depressing.
And that's one of those rookie mistakes we all make.
Oh man, rookie. I was making that mistake for years.
Yeah. I mean, it's like one of those things that it's so simple, but once you start doing that, it's like your chicken, it really stays crisper and fresher, you know, way more than that soggy mess that you're used to.
So yeah, one of those things I learned about chicken, and people are going to like jump on me for this, but I always throw a little bit of flour on it before I cook it in a pan, just like a little bit, just like a little cut dusting.
Yeah.
And technically it counts as like a, you know, quote unquote breading.
Right.
But if you do that, you put it in the container and you let it cool down and then you refrigerate it, it does wonders. It like seals it. It makes it taste better because it actually holds on to some of that oil in the pseudo breading.
Yeah.
And it probably adds like, you know, all of like a few calories from whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
But it's little things like that. See, I have a very love-hate relationship with chicken in the
first
place.
It's tough to eat, isn't it? It's hard to eat.
I ruined it in college.
Yeah.
That's because I was like, when I was meal prepping, it was just, I did the dumb thing where you just eat the, you know, the... You grill the chicken, you put it in a box, you eat it all day. You don't really season it well. And now I'm like a big like beef and fish guy. It's very hard to find me eating chicken most days.
I have to like disguise it is what I do. Mm-hmm. So I won't just, it's hard for me to eat just straight chicken breast anymore, just like you're saying.
Yeah.
So I like to shred it in the slow cooker, or I'll also, if I grill it, I'll cut it really thin. Like think about when you go to like, you know, an Asian Japanese place or something, that chicken they slice super thin.
Yeah.
And then you can just mix it right in with the rice.
Yeah.
That's what I like doing. So it's like when you take a bite of that, you're biting in rice, you're biting in broccoli. You're not just getting this big hunk of chicken you got to chew through.
I don't know how much free carbs you have in your day. I don't have
that. Well, if you're on zero carbs, then that's not an option.
I don't have a lot of carbs to hide things with.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Then if that's the case, you got to stick with shredded chicken.
Yeah. I think I haven't actually done that in years. I think the last time I had shredded chicken from home was like my mother. So yeah. I think I need to actually look into that. Actually, curry too.
Yeah.
Curry sauces and stuff like that. I think that
it's a good call.
The entire Asian continent did meal preppers a really huge deal with all of their flavors that they have available. It's like, hey, look, so you're going to eat this one sad thing, but it's going to taste okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got some spice for you.
It really saves that chicken. So I would say that and mustard. Mustard is also very low-cal and really disguises some struggle chicken.
People will fight with you on mustard because I love mustard, but it's like I always consider it's a, for me, it was always like the poverty condiment. Like,
yeah.
This tastes like sadness. Like, let's throw some mustard on top.
Yeah, I feel that. It's like broke college days. brings me back.
But it works. It works. If there's nothing else going on, and like say you know you're at like a restaurant, and you got your sad grilled chicken because you could barely fit that in your macros. Mm-hmm. Like just freaking cover that son of a bitch with like that with mustard. They got Dijon, or like something like that. That's even better. Some like grape the stone ground. Fancy shit. If you do that, then you know you're actually like you're cooking with fire. But you know some people don't like the mustard. But I also don't track my my sauces. Unless because I don't use a lot of them in the first place,
right?
And also I'm not like preparing for like a competition or anything,
yeah.
But it just it's such a slippery slope for me because the second you look at like a ketchup container, like you're about to get real sad.
I mean, some sauces like if you're going to use ketchup or like jam, you should probably track that.
Jam isn't a condiment, is it?
I don't know. Is it?
Is it? I don't know. You know, like if you're at even IKEA, right? Yeah, Lindenberry sauce they have. Have you eaten at IKEA?
I have not, actually. Every time I've been to IKEA, I'm like on prep, and I'm like, I can't.
I'm telling you, man. It's a furniture store, but the food there is great.
That's the best
part.
They
have like this... They have like this Lindenberry sauce, and they give you the meatballs, the gravy, and it's like this savory sweet thing.
Okay.
Like, I can't even consider gravy or jams or preserves as a condiment because like they're like their own thing.
Okay.
I'm talking about like... I'm not even talking about ranch. I guess I'm talking about like barbecue sauce or like ketchup... Stuff mustard. Like that. Stuff that you're going to, like, put on top, but you're not, like, ending your whole life with it.
Yeah.
I don't track that.
Dusty Hanshaw doesn't track. Actually, he does. He kind of tracks it. He gives himself, like, a 100-calorie-a-day... Sauce budget. Yeah, that's what he does.
I love that.
Funny.
I'm going to think about that. Like, I feel like I'm staying within the sauce budget, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm doing myself a disservice right now.
Yeah.
So, we're talking about containers. What kind of containers do you use? Because...
Well, it depends. I feel like... I mean, if you're talking like super health stuff, I'd say a glass container is probably the best. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you don't have space in your lunchbox, I had like the six pack bag for a while. Have you seen those?
Yeah, I have like the huge lunchbox that like everyone sees you walking in.
You just kind of look douchey.
Like this guy.
Yeah, it's like, well, you're not that big, bro, for that big lunchbox.
That's where you're wrong.
Yeah, so I did that for a little while. I felt like. I moved to the system that I'm doing now, which is two lunches that I bring with me as my meals and then a shake for emergency purposes. So I'll do that, but I'll just keep those in like these plastic square ones. I like to keep my meat and my carbs separate. That's one thing that I like to do because sometimes you'll notice like just like the meat will, if you put it in there when it's hot, the carbs will also attract condensation. Mm-hmm. And if you mix it in like right before you heat them up or like, you know, after, then that's a fresher tasting meal than if it's just been sitting in the same container for a couple days.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually a good way to look at it. I think that's separate. It's annoying, obviously, but I mean, you can go on Amazon, you can buy those packs of like 20 containers for a few bucks. I mean, they break. I'm not going to lie. They're not like, you know, the most resilient things in the world. But when we're talking like a cost to usefulness ratio, you can really save yourself a lot of grief and your things will taste a lot better if you actually separate them out.
Or Costco. They have a bunch of different options on
Costco
Tupperware.
Costco has
them too? Not like those ones. They have like a little more durable ones.
Yeah.
But they're like these clear ones that I have and they're just like that big. You can stack them and they work.
I don't get the glass ones because I feel like I haven't like earned the right.
Oh no, they're plastic. But yeah. I mean, like, the glass ones.
The glass ones are so nice. I'm like, I'm gonna drop this. Like, I don't know who I am yet. Who the fuck do I think I am? I'm not getting glass ones.
Yeah, I mean, someday when I'm rich, I will have. I'll have Louis Vuitton glass ones.
We won't even freaking be rich. We're just gonna finally be like, I'm confident that I will not. I haven't dropped a baby. I haven't dropped a small dog. I'm gonna go ahead and get these glass ones.
Yeah,
break it immediately.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Good track record.
So something I wanted to touch on is this whole concept of Pinterest meal plans versus reality. You ever like go on like you Google your it's the you go on Google, you type in meal prep ideas.
Oh my God.
And you get like these pictures of these beautiful layouts. It's like, you know, you've got like this spaghetti
you know,
squash or like the zucchini
spiraled
with like a chicken. And freaking with like a Chianti glaze and, you know, with fava beans on the side. That's, actually, I'm starting to think this is turning into a Silence of the Lambs reference. But moral story, it's like it looks awesome. It looks like it tastes good. It looks like a five-star chef. And they have them like spread across like five containers. You're like, holy shit, this looks delicious. And you try and make it yourself into a disaster.
Absolute disaster.
It's hard. It doesn't hold up over time.
So what did you make that was a disaster? Tell me.
What did I make? I'm trying to remember. It was like an Asian zing. It was it's something stupid. It was like a wrap bowl.
Okay.
Which first of all is backwards as hell. It's like a burrito bowl, but it's like, this is even healthier. It's like you get a wrap and you put it into a bowl. And it was like an Asian zing thing. with like a peanut sauce, and my dumb ass decided to make the peanut sauce instead of just going into the aisles. I'm telling you, I'm not lying to you people. Just go just go buy it. So I'm sitting there with like a food processor, and like I had to, I was living out of my parents' house by that point, but I like went back to my parents' house because they had like the things I needed. They had to all make
the cooking equipment like, that no one has.
No one in their early 20s has a food processor that available. That
or like a colander or something like that.
Oh my God. Wait, colander, isn't that just like a strainer?
Well, no, not a colander. What's it? Yeah, no, I meant the double boiler. That's okay. Seen those?
Wait, are those the things where you put the thing on top of the boiling so you can steam?
It's like they have a pot of water with a metal thing with holes in it, and you put the other pot on top with water, so it's like boiling on the bottom with.
Is that so you can like melt chocolate and stuff?
It's like melting things. Yes.
Yeah, I definitely don't have that. I thought you said I was like a colander. I was like, we need to go to the store right now. No, I got one. Like, I will go get you a colander.
I was just trying to sound fancy with my cooking terms. Colander. Yeah.
Ooh. I know what I'm talking about.
Meal preps.
But so I went home, and I'm like, you know, freaking ruining my parents' entire kitchen, grinding peanuts and trying to make this chicken properly. And it's like I had like the shaved cabbage. I had like the regular cabbage, the red cabbage. It was very pretty. And I finished, and I had, like, I ate, like, one serving there, and my first thought to myself was, like, it's okay. It's, like, pretty, it's good. It wasn't worth the 2 hours of pain. And I packaged the rest of it, got back to the house, no problem, in the refrigerator, and day by day by day, it just turned into a mess. It was awful. The cabbage wilted almost immediately. I think it was probably from the heat of the chicken or whatever that was next to it, because it was supposed to be kind of like a weird toss salad thing. And the way, of course, they showed it was with the chicken like on top of it, ready to go. Like, so I just followed them, like that separation thing. That was never a concept in my head. So I just trusted. I was like, yeah, this is going to be freaking awesome. And it was 2 hours wasted. My week sucked because of
probably like what, 30, 40 bucks?
You know, it was expensive. Yeah, it actually was expensive. And I think that's something that I've learned over time is that I'm the kind of guy, like, I won't go and buy shitty protein for cheaper. I just can't do it.
Right.
I just don't like it. So I'm willing to come out of pocket and get like good beef or good chicken and make it happen. But as far as like sauces and sides and everything, that I'm going budget every single time. Like, I'm going Kroger brand, I'm going store brand on everything except for my protein. But yeah, it was terrible. I think that's where it kind of, you learn about like simplicity.
Right.
So have you ever done any of these Pinterest things?
Oh, I absolutely have.
Okay, do you have like a horror story?
Yes. Okay. So this wasn't a meal prep. This was actually like, I was trying to make one of those onion blossoms like they have at Outback.
Outback. I love those things.
Aren't those good?
Those are so good.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to make an onion blossom. So I saw it on Pinterest and I was like, okay. So I got the onion, got like a shit ton of oil that I was going to fry this thing in.
Did you have a fryer or were you using a pan?
I was using a really big pot. Like, because
you
were
frying in a large pot.
Which you didn't need a deep fryer, the recipe that I looked up.
Okay.
You know, so it was like you just had to like heat it up. You wanted coconut oil.
Healthier.
Did
you put some in your hair while you were doing it?
Yeah, you know, I brushed my teeth with it.
I put it all over my skin. I was covered in coconut oil. The kitchen was a mess, but I was very moist.
It smelled good too, you know. So I went to drop it in there, and I breaded it with all the stuff that you're supposed to, and it wasn't like, it didn't stick, and I don't know why. But it didn't stick, and it just kind of like all the breading just kind of like rose to the surface, and it was just like an onion sitting on the bottom that kind of just mushed up
with a bunch of fried breading on top.
Yeah, it was just such a disaster.
You called Outback like liars.
I was like, wow, I can't even eat any of this, and it was such a waste.
Oh man.
And I went to the store specifically for all that stuff, too.
Of course you did. Yeah, of course. That's a problem with these recipes is that they ask for these specific things that no one has in their house.
Right.
And you go over there, you're stoked, you're ready to go, and you blow it. And, of course, there's the whole concept of, like, if you're going to actually go and do some chef stuff, like, there's going to be some trial and error. Like, you should you should some plan practice for this, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, you know, have you ever used an air fryer?
You know, I have an air fryer.
Is that an air fryer
over
there?
That's an air fryer over there, and I bet
you if you
it.
Tried to use that onion recipe in the air fryer, it would turn out great.
I think you're right. Maybe I should revisit it.
I feel like this needs to be revisited, because air fryers, I'm like, I don't know how much you're freaking air. My buddy had a small one.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really fit anything. I made steaks in it. They were awesome. I was making french fries, and I was just like, but this is too small. And I looked at the price of like a large one, because
that one was like 80 bucks.
That was only 80 bucks?
Yeah, at Costco.
Okay, I'm going to Costco.
Yeah. I mean, It's like medium size, I would say. It's medium,
Yeah, like probably like the size of like the width of your chest almost.
You can get like one potato chopped up into fries at a time.
Ooh.
So like two potatoes might take like two runs.
And you only have to use like a tablespoon of oil, right?
So this is, hey guys, listen up to this. Another pro tip, use the spray oil. That is so important because it's like if you're pouring oil into your pan, you're probably getting at least a tablespoon or two.
At least.
Yeah. So if you use the spray, that's like a nominal amount where it's not something that you need to like really be stressing about as much. So just spray it with the nonstick spray. Put your food in there regardless if it's the pan or the air fryer.
Okay.
So that's what I do.
Pro tip. Yeah. So the air fryer doesn't need that much oil. You just get a little spritz.
Nope. And oh, another thing. This is like some chef experience right here. If you are cooking over 400 degrees, use all avocado oil, because if you're using olive oil spray, then that shit's gonna burn and it'll give it a weird taste.
Wait, so for a lower
temperature heat? For lower heat, use olive oil. So if you're cooking something on medium or less on the stove, or under 400 degrees in the air fryer,
because it has a lower smoke point,
right?
So yes, avocado oil for higher heat
is like 500 or 550.
Does it taste better? Or
it doesn't have that smoky burnt taste, that rancid like smoky olive oil burnt taste that you get.
I have no idea. I feel like I don't even know if I know about this olive oil rancid taste. Maybe I've just been blind to it.
Yeah, I was kind of blind to it, and I was just like, it just tastes like, you know, that's what it tastes like. And I started using it, especially on the air fryer veggies, and they taste a lot better.
Okay, I'm going to have to go swing by Sprouts.
Yep, look at, yeah, they have the spray bottle for like $3.
And you go buy some kimchi and avocado oil anyways.
Yep.
Yeah, that goes back to my simplicity thing. You know what I've been doing lately is just a grill, like a protein, just get like, and then like broil or grill like a jalapeno, or just like throw like some kimchi on it. Because I don't even care if my food is pretty anymore. I have no desire for it. I don't want to feel healthy. I don't want to, like, you know, feel like I'm like living my best life. It's just like, I just want to not hate this. And
so the exact opposite of the Pinterest one.
Exactly. And you were talking about this revolutionary concept that I haven't fully bought into yet, but it makes sense. It's like, don't prep further out than 3 days.
Right.
So give me your philosophy on this.
Exactly. So it came from a lot of wasted protein, and I started feeling guilty because I was spending, not only was I spending all this money on food that I wasn't eating, but I was also, you know, it's like, that's animals that are dead that I'm not eating.
You're getting wasting. Way deeper so I'm than just I like, with this stuff.
Sad, you know,
I'm like, on like different more levels. Murder.
I started, you know, feeling bad, and I was like, you know, I gotta like be real with myself here. I'm not going to eat the 5-day old chicken that I have in the Tupperware. It's just too gross to look at. It doesn't smell right, and it's probably not going to get me sick, but on all levels, not enjoyable.
Not going to feel great.
Yeah. So I had to be real with myself, and I was like, look, how many of these meal preps do I actually eat? It was like 3-4 days max. So now I just prep for 3 days out, which is like 2 lunches for 3 days, 6 meals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll eat those, eat it till Wednesday, and then either Wednesday I'll prep something that night, or I will, sometimes if I'm really in a pinch, I will buy some meal preps as well.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about this too, the whole like pay to play. And you were doing this to me when you were telling me about this when I was gone at a training for a few months, and I was just like, I'm just gonna acquiesce and lift heavy and be fat again. And you're like, no, you can swing by these places that'll, you know, you can pay and they will just prep it for you.
Right.
So how does this work? Because I still haven't done it. I ignored you.
Well, don't worry. Now you know about it. So that's the half of the battle. That's what G.I. Joe told me. But basically, it's like, there's a couple options. You can either go to a legit establishment that specializes on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I like Protein House, another unpaid-for, unsponsored plug.
Maybe one day when we grow up big and strong.
Maybe one day they'll give me free meal preps after we make it big.
I don't need money. I just need meal preps.
Exactly. So I really like those because I don't feel bad eating it out to that fourth day because they make it the day of. So it's like you call, you order it, and they have it ready to go in 20 minutes. So you just go pick it up.
And how long do you think those stay good for?
That's what I'm saying. They stay like 4 days because they're making it that day. Like if you order from like Feast Mode or one of these other like online ones.
Like the frozen ones?
Yep. They'll cook it Sunday and they'll give it to you Monday. And then that's already one day down on freshness.
Well, if they're frozen, it should last longer, shouldn't it?
Oh, the frozen ones. I've never tried the frozen ones before.
Okay, because that's what I was saying when you were talking about the other one. Okay, sorry. So
like Freshly and those other... Yeah.
Is it Freshly? I thought they send you like... That's when they send you the packages that are... what is it? Yum. I don't know. It's Yumly or one of those things. They send you like a bag and it has like all the ingredients still have to make it.
I've done those too.
I love those. They're great. I mean, usually only if I have a promo code or something. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit expensive for what you're getting, but I'm telling you, if you want to try something, I also keep all the recipe cards they give me. Mm-hmm. And I won't even necessarily do the whole recipe, but there's like one where it's like a burger with like cheddar in the middle, and then they have like this weird like jalapeno relish.
Damn.
And the jalapeno relish was dope. And I was like, this is a freaking
game changer.
And I'm like, I'm keeping this little card and I'm going to put this on things.
Yeah.
Because that's freaking ridiculous.
That was a good find.
Oh, it was. I'll send you a screenshot on that. That thing is dope. So it's a how much is it for like one serving from the like Protein House?
So one serving is going to be what I did last time is I got six meals at 5 ounces of protein, including carbs. So it's like one or half a cup of carbs and a veggie, and that was six meals for $52. But got that military discount for 12% though, so that kind of helped.
So 52 for six meals, so it's like a little less than $10. Okay, yeah. So it's like you're still standard. Like going out to like a restaurant price, like if you're getting like a reasonable. But we're talking about like it being a complete healthy meal.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to like a sit down restaurant and getting a healthy meal, you're paying at least like $13 at least here in the Central Phoenix area.
Mm-hmm.
But like usually, if you're paying less than $10, you're getting like Wendy's. So I would call that a win.
Yeah, it was a win, and I mean, honestly, that's pretty standard.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that's not too unreasonable as it comes with that amount of protein. 5 ounces is, you know, that's a solid protein serving right there. You go to like Pita Jungle or something like that, and you'll get their Euro. You're lucky if you get that much protein.
Oh, don't even get me started. That's a fight. I will fight any restaurant when they skimp on it.
It's the most expensive part.
They make it look all fluffed up and everything, and I've just become so crusty as a human being. This is like shit that my dad would do when I was a kid. I'm like, shut up, dad. It's not that big of a deal. And nowadays, it's just like I sit there. I'll spend $15 on some meal, and I'll get the protein source. I'm like, okay, so I got the Alfredo pasta with shrimp. You want to explain to me why I got $15 and four shrimp?
Right.
I'm about to break this plate over someone's head.
No shrimp.
And it's like the people always ask, like, why don't you get interesting things at a restaurant? It's like, because I don't want to be lied to. You can't lie to me about an 8 ounce steak.
Right.
You can't it's like, oh, it's a Parmesan chicken thing. Like I see the picture. It's going to be about that size. Yeah. I have an idea. But the second you start like cutting things up, especially like pizza places, if you get like the pasta, like you can double up the chicken or something on there. And it's mm-hmm. like, this is built on lies.
I know. That's like such a waste of money too.
It's annoying. I don't know. The one of those things I've always been kind of curious about, and I've been mean to look into, especially when I go on like a week long trainings or I'm traveling, is they have the frozen meals that you always see the people who are sponsored by them and stuff, and they're like, standing there like really sexy.
They'll like pull out their tray.
They're holding it, like looking really hot. Like, oh my god, this is so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always kind of wanted to look into those. Again, it's prohibitive in cost,
right?
But I think it comes down to that whole concept of like being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally will throw on a ton of water weight when I'm traveling, specifically because I'm not eating well.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to have that dip in progress, and you want to continue driving on and not losing faith in what's going on, I think it can sometimes be worth that cost.
Yeah, especially like you put in all this work, and like being in the military, we have to go travel and then perform at a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
When we get there, like every school has a PT test that we have to like, meet a minimum standard. If we don't do that, then we get sent back in shame.
Loving that new PT test though.
Yes. And then we'll definitely have an episode of the new PT test. I know some people will be interested in that, but basically
all y'all fatties are going home.
Yeah. Good luck if you're overweight. I'm just
tuck your legs.
Yep. You better have strong legs. Yep. So basically, like, if you have to, stay on top of your food, you're traveling for, like, a athletic competition, mm-hmm. Military school, or just, you like feeling, normal and good.
Consistent and good. That is, oh, man. I think that's, at the end of the day, if you want to argue about protein sources, if you want to argue about quality, I think nothing can beat the concept of you feel normal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you've been to DFACs or cafeterias at events and stuff, and suddenly, your gastric system is all messed up. You don't know what they're doing with the stuff and how much oil they're using.
Right.
And you just feel like garbage. But if you have kind of an idea and a trusted source of where you're getting your food from, and you don't have a kitchen, that could be a complete game changer. I think it was like Usain Bolt when he went to the Olympics in China. Like, he ate chicken nuggets from McDonald's the whole time, right, because he just like he couldn't. He just didn't know where any of the food there was coming from, but he knew McDonald's, and McDonald's holds a standard across the country. So he's like, I'd rather eat that and know what's going to happen
than like the new Chinese food.
Exactly. It's like, it's, you know, I'm sure it's going to be delicious, but I, you know, I've got a race to win.
Right. Yeah. He didn't want to risk anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good point. And like, as far as those frozen meal preps, the only ones I've ever tried was Freshly, which were decent. I mean, they weren't like the cleanest of calories, but yeah, they tasted good. It's like, compared to like a fucking MRE, it was great, you know?
Wow, you set the lowest bar.
I did, yeah. You set
the lowest bar for what is good.
What
food
is good.
Something that's been sitting in a brown bag since the 90s. It's better than that.
10-year shelf life.
Like, wow. Thank you, Freshly. Your food is better than an MRE.
I mean, my goodness. It's better than a day 5 struggle chicken, too.
Okay, true. There's another one. There we go. Now we're back on Earth. That's a real comparison, right? Like, I got Skittles out of one of those things, and I bit down, and I almost chipped a tooth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right? It's like, yeah, this is, wow, world's best fighting force.
Have you ever got the cheese where it's, like, separated? It's like,
oh, where's grease and then dry cheese on one side? Once, yep. And my bread was also moldy in it.
No.
So I just went and got a new one. I went like to my foreman's like, Massa, can I please have another? There's mold.
It's like, this is not safe to eat.
And they were like still unsure. They like, looked at me like, sounds like you're being a whiner, but I guess if you don't want to eat the mold. So it was something I like to think about with those kind of things is the difference between eating for fuel and the whole like liking what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that a lot of people, especially in the beginning, struggle with. Because you were saying this is like a scientific thing about the whole like healthy people eat the same thing. Can you kind of run me through it? Because I have like an anecdotal source on this, but I think that you might have like a more fleshed out version.
Right. So, I mean, basically, I was looking at some articles in a men's health magazine, and it was saying that like they studied, you know, large group of people, and the majority of the food of the people who were, you know, had healthy biomarkers at had like didn't have any overweight, you know, tendencies or stuff like that. They were eating kind of the same meals on a weekly basis. So it's like their Monday through Friday meals, or at least like their breakfast, lunch, and dinners for the most part, besides like going out, you know, for pleasure, were almost like consistent from week to week, just as far as like protein sources. So like, for example, I've tried to adopt this philosophy, and I eat the same breakfast and the same types of lunches on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
So like almost every time I'm either having a protein shake in the morning, or I'm having my 2 eggs, 4 egg whites and asparagus. So that's always how I started out.
Asparagus for breakfast?
Yes.
You're a weirdo.
Well, it's just sad to eat eggs by himself, so I had to do something.
I'm like a rice guy with eggs. Yeah. Like, that's if I had to waste like one of my carb meals. I'm like, I'm not huge on eggs in the first place, but you throw like a little bit of some rice in there and like throw a little bit of soy sauce. Yeah, you mix it.
Interesting.
So you make like scrambled eggs, throw some rice on top of that, throw some soy sauce or whatever, you know, and a sriracha. And you're working.
Okay.
You got some cat. I'm telling you.
I'm going to try that.
Asparagus for breakfast. I don't know if anyone else does that. That's a little weird.
Okay. Well, let me add a little bit of structure to this. I was doing it in the air fryer, and it's like crispy, almost like they're like, you know, eating crispy potatoes, but they're crispy asparagus.
Okay.
You
know? That actually makes a lot more sense because I was thinking of like pan fried, like an oil. And
oh, like a soggy, like asparagus.
Asparagus with eggs. Just like everything about the mouth feel of what you're describing. Just
yep. Yeah, I'll do that every morning for breakfast. I'll do one of those two things, and then for lunch I'll do one of three chicken meals that I rotate that we can talk about later.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I actually, you said that and I thought about it, and you're like, I'm like, holy crap, like that's actually true, because everyone I know, and this again, it's obviously speaking from an anecdotal source, but they're most of them aren't foodies. They're
right.
Not people who are bent out of shape about having to eat something for the fifth time in a row. You know, I had a roommate, you know, I went to college with him. He was top of his class. He was top of our ROTC class and everything like that. And every morning he ate the same thing. It was like eggs, sausage, and like some potato thing. And then lunch, he packed his lunch every single day, ate the exact same thing for lunch. And then in the evening, typically it was some combination. It was like potato, egg, and a protein.
Right.
And he was fine with that. And when he went out to dinner, and he was like, you know, going off of his like his regular diet, he was just like a steak guy.
You just get a steak?
He just get like a steak. That was his like gold star. Like, yes, I'm going to go and treat myself. It was like a steak. He wasn't going for like the pasta dishes or anything like mm-hmm. that. He was not a guy who enjoyed high carb meals. He hates sweets.
Right.
Like for his birthday and stuff, he doesn't like cake. Took him out to brunch to a place that was like really like protein heavy place. And like, he was stoked on that. He doesn't like sweets or anything. And I mean, he's in phenomenal shape. And so it's just seeing people like that. And it's like, for me, I can do that. I can be consistent with my meals pretty easily, but I also have to change it out every couple of weeks because I get tired of it. Or, you know, I need to just change things up right. or change the size or something. And I think that shows that at the end of the day, consistency is always going to be king. It's just kind of an argument about like, what kind of consistency can you maintain with that?
No, I completely agree. And I mean, as far as like the consistency, like I have a question. Do you feel like, because you said you spend a little bit more money on protein than you do like some of your other ingredients, mm-hmm. which I do the same thing. I would rather, you know, go spend a little bit of extra money getting like a nicer cut of steak or like some eggs that, you know, might be cage free as opposed to like
they taste better. I will fight for that one. I had a girlfriend. I had a big fight about it. Yep. We did like a side by side. They do taste a little bit richer. They are a little bit better.
I feel like, they definitely taste richer, and I don't get tired of them as quickly. Mm-hmm. Like when I was eating the bulk chicken, I could only eat that like 2 days in a row, like 3 days in a row. And then that fourth day in a row, I was just like, just putting that chicken breast in my mouth was like the most disgusting thing I could think about.
What? That is a sentence I don't think I've ever heard of. Putting that chicken breast in my mouth.
And then like I don't get like organic every time, but if I'll get like, you know, a chicken from Sprouts, or I'll get something that doesn't look like a goddamn pterodactyl breast, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, what? That's not a chicken. That's huge. What is that? You know, I can eat sustainably, I feel like.
I think that it's not even to make it like a political statement. The difference between like a factory farm, and this is like in particular with all proteins, the difference between a factory farm protein versus like a holistically raised protein is night and day. Because, you know, growing up in southern Arizona, we had a lot of cattle farms by. So you get grass-fed beef.
Wow, and like real grass-fed
beef. And that's not just from a taste standpoint, it's from a health standpoint.
Right.
I recommend everyone, there's the book, The Omnivore's Dilemma. I can't remember the name of the author off the top of my head, but he talks about how corn is like ruining freaking everything. It's cows don't eat corn naturally. They eat grass. So when you're actually eating this beef and stuff, it's if you're eating corn-fed beef, it's, you know, it's going to be shooting up like your insulin, stuff like that.
That's like inflammation, like all kinds of inflammation.
It's going to make you fatter. Whereas if they're grass-fed from start to finish, you get a much cleaner beef. The best way I can describe it is I actually took a year off from beef. It was not for an ethical reason. I was just trying to get with this girl who didn't eat beef, and I was I'm that type of person.
That's
apparently
the only reason a guy changes his diet.
And when I was, I finally decided I was going to eat beef again. The first time I ate beef, it was grass fed, and I had no problems.
Yeah,
and I was just kind of like slowly getting back into it. And then like a week later, I got like a chuck steak or some bullshit mm-hmm. that was cheap someplace, and I was on the toilet, basically shitting out razor blades.
Oh wow!
Because my body didn't process it as well.
Yeah.
The same thing goes like chicken. If you're getting like the bulk chicken, it's a coloring thing. It looks always really pale.
You know, chickens aren't that big. Like what the fuck?
Well, exactly. You get these huge breasts that are like, they're almost white.
Yeah.
And then if you go and find like a more expensive, you know, organically raised, yada, 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 it's typically like a deeper salmon pink color.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. It's because the quality of the muscle is better.
Mm-hmm.
If you have like this hollowed out, sad, you know, amount of flesh, it's just not going to have the same nutrient intensity. Same things with the eggs. If the chickens are walking around and they're pecking at bugs and eating random things off the ground and having a good time, you're going to have a more nutritious egg. It's the difference between a bright yellow yolk and then like those, like, you know, those like golden orange ones.
Right.
It's intuitive. Colors mean something. It's going to taste better. It's going to be richer, and you're not going to get tired of it.
That's a big one for sure. Like the chickens aren't meant to only eat grain. Like mm-hmm. that's what they feed them most of the time.
Those things are little velociraptors.
Yeah.
They attack each other.
They're supposed to eat bugs and worms.
They want to kill and destroy.
Yeah. They don't get omegas from corn. You get omegas from bugs.
And it's one of those things, like if you can't afford to do stuff like that, it's fine. What I typically, always recommend is just seasoning everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's one of the things that especially early meal prep things, especially when you're in college and stuff, you just throw some salt and pepper on that and call it good. Or some, my thing was like, I was actually
break out the Mrs. Dash.
I was cool because I used Creole seasoning, that green container. I'm just like, I know how to season stuff.
Yeah, it's a little fancy.
But I think if you really do some research on seasonings, spend the money, come out of pocket, because seasonings are actually a little bit expensive, but they last a while.
What's like your go-to, like garlic powder, what onion powder, like what do you think?
These days, I typically, you know, I do a salt and a pepper it. Mm-hmm. I try and use actual garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh, I actually will take the time to chop it and do that because it becomes much more aromatic. And,
yep,
you know, you're actually inhaling it as you're eating it, so you feel it. But I'll use like a garlic salt or a seasonal. Typically, I'm more of a sauce guy these days.
Said sriracha, that was a good one.
Yeah, sriracha. Like, yeah. I'm a sauce guy these days. So what I'll typically do is I've been big on beef recently. I'm on a big beef kick. And I'll typically use like a soy sauce. It'll have like soy sauce, a little bit of sugar in it, and then a few other things. And I'll let it marinate in that. And it's not a lot of sauce overall if you're looking at the coverage of the beef, but it kind of gets into it and it makes it taste different. And I change that every week. I rotate to like a different one. I'll change to like a teriyaki, to a Korean barbecue beef flavoring, to like more of like a spicy one. And that's just for me because like I will get bored.
Right. Well, shit, maybe since we're already kind of talking about this, should we go into like what are like the meals that you rotate in consistently to make protein goals?
Yeah, let me see. I wrote this down. It was actually kind of a hard question for me. I was kind of asking myself, like, what does my meal prep look like? So for me, I'm a big snacker these days, especially because I'm currently on a cut, so it's going horribly. But I keep getting sick.
Oh, man.
Speed
bumps, bro.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I just like I get sick, and then I'm like, you know what'll solve this? Calories.
Yeah.
I'll just immediately start lying to myself. Like, get off the wagon. You're dying. Yeah, you
gotta feed the immune system. You gotta
feed it, exactly. I can't beat these germs without energy.
Yeah.
Let's go get a burger. But typically, what a day looks like for me is like I start my day off with like an egg, turkey, and then like a carb of some sort. I like those breakfast sandwiches that you can get, you know, just in the store. They're easy for me because I don't have
they're not terrible morning. Macros either.
They're not, especially if you figure out how to put them in. Then the rest of my day is almost exclusively snacking.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm talking like almonds, cheese sticks, veggies throughout the whole day.
Yep.
And typically like a protein bar before I go to the gym, something that's kind of a high carb, medium protein.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the day, I have a really large protein meal,
mm-hmm.
Which looks like these days it's usually like it's always on the grill.
Right.
It's some sort of beef, typically flank steak if it's available. Ooh, but good I'll choice. Do it. I know, so good. I trim off all the fat because I hate myself. But recently it wasn't available, so I'll just find something else and cut it in a similar method.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with some kind of marinade, and I wrap up my day with like yogurt and. And a protein shake, and that's just how I get through my evening.
So that's like four good protein servings right there.
Yeah, I try and spread my protein sources throughout the day, just because I feel like if I'm getting it all at once, my mm-hmm. body might just like not be able to digest it, and I'll just shoot it through.
Right.
But that's typically how my day looks like in the I'm kind of like an anti-prepper in these days because mm-hmm. I got so tired of the hustle and bustle of waiting and being like, okay, cool, I'm gonna have this 4 days from now. So I have a larger, a more calorie-dense meal in the morning mm-hmm. that's not prepped. My prep I usually bring to work is like in a box with all those snacks.
Right.
That I just throw in the fridge and I pull it to my desk and I'm ready to go for it. And then and I have a really large meal at the end of the day.
That's pretty solid.
That's like almost, it's almost carb-free at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So that I'm not sleeping on a carb-heavy meal.
Get those carbs in at the beginning so you can feel the workout.
I want them to be useful. I don't want to, you know, I always... Whenever you have like a meal at the end of the day that you have a bunch of bread and stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, first of all, those are your most problematic carbs that mm-hmm. you can be taking, or carbs, calories you'd be taking in. And also those are for energy. Do you really want to put gas in the tank when you're about to go to bed?
Right.
That's counterintuitive to what actually is going to make you like successful.
Yeah. It's like, it's not necessary that late. It's just there are people who throw it in. It's like more of a treat unless you're training late. You know, it's not
exactly
mandatory. Yeah, that's pretty good. Like some of the ones that I do, I rotate through. I like your approach where you have like your leaner, more carb focused during the day and the morning, and then at the night you go more to like the more protein and fat focused, less carbs. Mm-hmm. I do a similar approach where in the morning, well, it's a kind of flip flopped actually, because I train in the evenings usually. Mm-hmm. So in the morning I'm going carb free, and then it's like
my meal. That's rough.
I mean, you get used to it though, because it's like that big meal that you have before you go to bed. Because I'm getting home at like 10:30, and as soon as I get home, I have my last meal and then I go right to bed. So I'm kind of digesting that, and I wake up and I'm not hungry because I'm digesting that big meal I just had. Okay.
Yeah.
So then I'll eat my eggs and asparagus, and then my next meal is going to be one of those chicken meals I was talking about. Mm-hmm. I like rotating the shredded chicken taco salad, which I'll do like black beans. You could do corn in there. You can do, I like doing Greek yogurt with hot sauce. Mix that together.
Greek yogurt with hot sauce.
It's like a buffalo sauce.
So we're talking like a sugar-free Greek yogurt. You throw some hot sauce in there. Yep. That's a good thought. That's actually, I like that.
Yeah, it works pretty damn good.
Yeah. I'm big on the yogurt sauce. Like I have like a sriracha yogurt sauce that I use for like dipping like carrot sticks and stuff into. Ooh, so that, okay. Like for veggies, because I'm going to be completely clear with it. Veggies taste like sadness to me. So it's, that's something that
it's
gets
your
me.
Food's food.
It's my food's food. Exactly. I'm not trying to take my food's food.
Right?
Vegans are trying to take my food's food.
Yeah, it's a crisis. We got to watch out for that. Yeah, or to those two, or my one of my favorites is chicken rice and broccoli 2.0.
Chicken rice and broccoli 2.0. I can't wait for you to tell me why this is okay.
Okay, so everyone knows chicken rice and broccoli, classic bro meal that everyone's eaten too much at some point in time in their life where they're tired of it. All right, now this is how you spice it up a little bit.
A little bit of spice.
Yes. I stick it on the grill. First, I marinate it in a plastic bag with sriracha, garlic powder, soy sauce, and what's the last thing I put in there? Ginger.
I was gonna say ginger because yep. Like some ginger would be nice in there.
Yeah, exactly. We're on the same page. Yep. So I marinate in that. I cook it on the grill, and I slice it super thin, like I was saying. That's very mm-hmm. critical for your bites of chicken, so you're not okay. gnawing on a big old piece. Then I have brown rice cooked already, like that's already been steamed and everything. And then I get a hot pan. I spray it with one layer of oil. I'll put the chopped broccoli and the rice and cook that on medium high until it gets crispy. And then after that, mix everything together.
Okay, so what you've described to me is just...
I add tamari sauce to the rice while it's cooking.
What's tamari sauce?
It's like a more fragrant soy sauce. Only a little bit. You only need like,
I feel like you're adding a tablespoon. Things, you're adding a lot of things on my grocery list right now. I feel like...
It's just a little bit. Just a little. Just it's a like little fancy bit. Soy sauce.
I feel like you basically just described fried rice. Basically, you've taken fried rice, you've co-opted it and made it into a bro thing, which I'm totally with. If you threw an egg in
it's
there,
it's a consistency
if
thing.
If you threw because fried rice is awesome.
Yeah,
fried rice is awesome. Like chicken with rice, everything with rice, eggs with rice, yeah. 10 out of 10. Throw rice in there, like you instantly gain like 5 points with me.
But that broccoli, like when you cook it in the pan like that, it's like when you go to teppanyaki and they have that broccoli that's mm-hmm. like mixed in that crispy, like smoky vegetable taste. It's just like on another level, bro. I'm telling you, it's not like that soggy steamed broccoli that you're used to. I'm telling you.
That actually sounds. You threw an egg in there. It is fried rice, though.
That might actually be a good idea to do an egg in there.
Yeah, throw an egg in there. Just scramble the egg on the side of the pot on the pan.
Yep.
And you've got yourself fried rice.
Maybe I'll do that. That fuck it. I'm adding all kinds of things to the list to try today.
I think. Yeah, that actually does sound good. I think that was one thing I wanted to touch on before we actually got out of here was this whole concept of, I think, is like counterproductive meal plans.
Yes.
Because we're always focused on what tastes good. And I've seen some meal preps, especially like at work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I need to make, I work in an office in IT distribution. I think you can guess that there probably isn't the fittest crowd in the world.
Right.
There's some people in there who are some machines, but the bulk of people are just kind of like going day to day.
Desk warriors in there.
Desk warriors. They have kids, you know, life's busy. They're making it happen, but they're not really taking care of their bodies. And, you know, they have like these meal preps and it's like tortellini pasta with a cheese right. and some sauce on top. And it's like the
bacon wrapped, whatever, you know?
Yeah. And they're always these huge servings. And I think that people need to remember that just because you're doing a meal prep doesn't mean you're actually working in your favor.
Right.
Like you need to be like really honest with yourself, because it is so easy to lie to yourself, like during a workout or during, you know, when you're making a meal. But it just like take a critical look at what you're doing and ask if it's actually effective, because
it's actually better than that burger.
Exactly. Like you might as well have gone eating the burger, because at least that one had like, you know, a certain amount of protein available, whereas right now you're eating a bunch of carbs. So
what do you think about like grabbing, going to the frozen food aisle and grabbing like one of those, you know,
like frozen pasta bags?
Yeah, like a pasta bag or like a one of those frozen fit meals. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, so I do. So I have two opinions, because the frozen pasta bags are awesome. Okay. I love those things. They are not good for you.
Of course not.
What I did though for a while when I was hurting on dinner, I was just getting home so late from work.
Yeah,
was I would get those, and I would get the bag of the frozen grilled chicken that was chopped up, and I would like triple the protein content on it. And that would actually, that made me feel a little bit better about myself. It still,
if you're in a pinch,
great.
That's a good idea.
The frozen meals at the store, the healthy ones, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like they're like Love or Evolve or whatever they call them nowadays. They usually taste good, and I think that they're a step in the right direction if you're already like a frozen meal person all the time. I think they are a positive step in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the same shit.
Still it's not whole food still.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I think everyone should do their best to avoid the center rows of the kitchen the best way they can, or the kitchen, the grocery store the best they can. Like there's obviously things you need to get in there, but you know, if you're getting like whole meals in there, like you've already lost a certain battle.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like, if it's the backup plan, I think it's a good idea, but it shouldn't be your
exactly. I think that they are perfectly fine for a pinch, for you just got to get food in your body. Cause like the thing is, I'm not ever going to support anyone starving themselves. It's not a good way to go through life.
Yeah.
But I don't think that should ever be plan A.
Right. And what do you think about like unnecessary like complexness to meal plans? Like we were bullshitting about like protein combinations, or like, oh, you have to like make sure this glycemic index is perfect on this when you're combining foods anyway, so it doesn't matter. You know,
dude,
what do you think about that?
I'm too stupid. I'm too stupid for all that. I think the body's going to do what the body's going to do.
Right.
And I think that there are at a higher level, it does matter to a degree.
If you have everything else perfect,
if you have everything else perfect, I think that's always going to be the argument about everything in fitness, is if you are already, your diet's perfect, your workout's perfect, and you are like getting enough sleep and everything, then yeah, you can start worrying about these weird indexes and
combining
peak times
amino acids and stuff.
Making sure that you're dissolving things in your body at the right rate. It's just, yeah, sure. But for the vast majority of the world, it's just you're wasting your time, you're stressing yourself out, you're making your life complicated for absolutely no reason. And you're never going to ever see me support that kind of stuff for really anybody. Even like the highest level players, I think you were talking about, there's an individual talking about that it just doesn't work. It's not something that's ever going to, like, it's not going to be the thing that...
It takes away from the right things you should be doing.
That's it, makes it hard. It's about sustainability. And that comes to our conclusion about sustainability. It's if you make it difficult, if you make this a hard thing to do, it needs to be natural. Because it's not about motivation. It's about like the discipline of things. And if you decide one day, you know, you've never gone on a run in your life, and you're like, I'm gonna wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm gonna go on a run every morning, good luck,
right?
Because you've just set yourself up for failure. You need to make it something that like is easier to do, and is something that you're willing to, and then you can start ramping it up and making it more difficult. But if you're gonna walk in there and start worrying about like, you know, I got to make sure that I am in this window, I got to get this type of protein, I got to get this type of amino, I think you're just asking for trouble.
I completely agree. It's like you have to keep it simple enough, especially at the beginning, where it's enjoyable still. You know, it's like once you get to the higher levels where it's getting boring and you're like, okay, I'm at the point where I don't even have to think about this task anymore and I'm getting bored and have to, you know, add something in to continue to progress, and then throw in your next level. But if you're not doing this with the approach of this is something that you need to, you know, have as a daily habit and part of like the next at least decade of your life, then you're approaching it with the wrong mindset. You're you're doing this for the short term, and that's going to limit your overall progress.
I think that's the same reason why like a lot of those what is it, like the Jenny Craigs and the Weight Watchers and stuff, those little cults that they start.
Yeah.
I think they work for a lot of people, but I think for a lot of people, it's just, it's a big ask.
It really is.
And I think that if you need to find what's going to work for you, because I'm very, very sympathetic towards people who like struggle with like their weight and stuff. It's but I'm not sympathetic towards people who aren't willing to make a certain amount of concerted effort. So if you say to yourself, you know, I want to lose weight and this is hard, my first thing I'm going to say to you is, yes, it is hard.
That's so true.
It's unfortunate and it's hard. But if you're willing to take steps in the right direction and make that occur at a slow rate, I think that's cash money. And I think if you quitting anything cold turkey is hard. If I don't know how long you smoked cigarettes or anything, but like quitting right out of the gate, just saying like, I don't do this anymore.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. That's never how it works. You're going to have slips. You're going to go back and you just got to realize like keep doing the right thing. You know, it's, I think that's the key, consistency.
I mean, we can get into like that last part of our topic, which is the why behind all this. It comes down to like, is your why big enough, right? To make it sustainable. And one thing my mentor was telling me is like, it isn't just motivation. It has to be meaningful motivation.
Mm-hmm. Like, so you're telling me wanting to be dummy thick and shredded is not necessarily going to be the best motivation.
I mean, that is motivation, but it's not meaningful enough where it's like, and even like, here's a classic one that we all started out with, and you can attest to this. Mm-hmm. We all just wanted to get laid and get chicks and be more attractive when we first started working out. It's brother. I'm gonna get stacked and have a six pack, and then the ladies will love me. And then at 5 years down the road, we realize that's not the case. First of all,
yeah,
and then we realize why we're actually doing this. Like, and that's meaningful motivation. It's that longer term, like foundation. That is your real motivation, not just a superficial thing like I'm just trying to get laid.
What is the thing for you, if you had to sum it up in like one sentence, if someone said, why do you deny yourself? Why do you force yourself to eat this chicken every single day? Like, why? Like, let's go like eat this whole ass pizza. Like, what's the thought in your head that says like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing?
Well, I guess I've kind of been reformulating that this last couple of years, and I've realized that one of the most meaningful things that you could do as a person is to take on new challenges in order to help other people behind you do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this is something that I am good at. I've been involved with fitness pretty much my entire adult life. And because of that, I've had experiences, and I'm going to continue to have experiences in this that other people are striving towards. And I need to do that as best as I can so that I could help other people
mm-hmm.
along the way.
Okay.
That's why.
Yeah.
I know that's like super general and deep into it.
I think that there's always going to be people who they exist for other people at the end of the day. They want to make it happen for them so they can make it happen for others.
Right. I feel like that is the most meaningful thing that I could dedicate my life towards, is, you know, trying to set my goals high enough where I can affect the most people that I can.
Well, let's go find you a platform.
Right. Yeah. What about you? What would you say is like one thing that keeps you sustained in this when you're, you know, outside of the, I'm just trying to look better?
I don't know, man. I think the thing that got me started in the beginning was I had a very like toxic mindset on it, frankly. I was just I was a really overweight kid growing up, and I was like super awkward and everything, but I think it was just the thing that really drove me was literally like, I'm not going to let anyone tell me I can't do blank.
Right.
The second someone told me no, it just became that I became like obsessive about
that's
things.
Weird. Yeah.
It was really weird, because as long as it was about me, it didn't matter. But the second that someone said like, "Oh, you're doing this," I mean, like, when I joined the army, I was super overweight, and mm-hmm. literally they told me like, we don't want you, like,
oh, wow.
You're not like the guy who hit the office, like,
I wouldn't have thought
they don't know, want you. Well, it's for ROTC, of course. Yeah. The enlisted recruiting officer, like, hell yeah, brother.
Like, yeah. You want to be an 88 Mike? Let's go.
Yeah, but they were like, they said to me, you know, like, the army doesn't want you, we don't need you, see yourself on.
Yeah.
And my first thought was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And like that drove me for years, that situation. And, you know, since then I haven't really had those types of motivations, because I don't get frequently told that I can't do things. And that was something that I kind of had to come to terms with and realize like, oh shit, like I need to find a new motivation.
So what did you do? What did you find?
Well, I mean, I think it was, it started becoming like, I had to look inside and say like, okay, well, I was always trying to be prove myself to other people. I think realistically, right. I was trying to prove myself to myself. I hold myself right. to like this unrealistic standard all the time. And when I'm failing at something or I'm not doing well, like I look at myself and it's like, you're better than this.
Mm-hmm.
This is, it's, a, I'm, you know, you're more of an outward to like, you want to like help other people. But for me, it's a little bit selfish, but right. for me, it's I look at myself and I say like, you're better than this. You can do better than this. People like expect more from you.
Right.
So for me, it's a little bit negative, but you know, it gets me through the door where I say, you're going to do blank because it's the right thing to do for you.
And it makes you a better leader, right?
Exactly. It makes you better. It makes me better for other people, right. which is good. It's a good, I try and make sure that I'm always there for, you know, other people and make it happen. But you know, at the end of the day, like it's me versus me.
And that's the thing. Who cares if that's selfish? Because exactly. in the end of the day, you're still helping people better.
Exactly. And it is about, I think people need to think that everyone always thinks like, oh, I'm being selfish. Like good, yeah. good. Take care of yourself. Because a lot of people, the reason they're overweight, the reason that they're struggling, the reason they're not getting things to happen
mm-hmm.
is because they're taking care of the kids. They're taking care of their husband or wife,
yeah.
taking care of their boyfriend. They're taking care of their friends. It's like, hey, shut up. Stop taking care of them. Sit down. Look at your life. Stop lifting other people up for a second and mm-hmm. think about yourself, because they're standing on your shoulders and they're right. seeing their dreams and they're seeing what they want to achieve.
Right.
What were your goals? Mm-hmm. What are your expectations for yourself?
Yeah, and if you die of a heart attack at 40, then your kids are in a worse spot than if you took 30 minutes, you know, five times a week to work out.
Exactly. You know, yeah. take your kids on the walk with you. That's a guy. Yeah. The number of excuses to hear about the working out as a kid's like, I get it.
Yeah.
I understand. There's not enough hours in the day, but you know, you got to make it happen at some degree.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. We all have time in the day. The amount of time you spend sitting in front of the television. Oh man, I was like on Reddit the other day and people were talking about like, it's like, I found a subreddit. It's called anti-work. It's literally true. A bunch of people who don't want to work. And they're yeah. explaining like, why. I'm like, what a bunch of losers.
Oh man.
Like, I get it.
Yeah.
You're being screwed over. You're not getting paid enough. You're being taken advantage of. And there's like, I don't even want to participate. And it's like, that's fine, but that's not going to improve your situation.
Right.
Okay, you're not being paid enough and no one's helping you out. Like, you need to start finding it. You need to look for it. I'm not saying everyone needs to become an entrepreneur and mm-hmm. open their own business, but you know, if you're dunking fries at McDonald's and you hate your manager,
right.
like, become the manager. Like, fight for it. Make it happen. You know, like, I get home and I'm oh God, there's someone like, you spend all your time out of work
mm-hmm.
just being tired and recovering from work. I'm like, recovering from work? Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's just not going to happen. Like, you're going to have to, like, that's your time and you need to use it the way you're going to use it. Like, get your 8 hours of sleep in, mm-hmm. but you got to make use of that time.
Yeah. Would you say, like, being tired from work is more of, like, a mental attitude than necessarily, like, actual fatigue?
I think sometimes it's real, especially yeah. when kids are involved. I think that's a real, like, especially when we're talking, like, single parents, stuff right. like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's a completely different.
I get it. Like, I'm not going to, I'm never going to hold that against them. If you're freaking working and you're a single parent, like,
yeah.
shit.
Good. Man, like, I don't know how I would be in that situation.
I don't know how you're doing it.
Yeah.
You're hardcore.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, like, in your 20s and all you do is go to work and then you go home and you're tired, like, I just don't have the energy. It's like, mm-hmm. bullshit. I don't feel bad for you.
Right.
Because you are young. This is the time for you to make it happen. I was giving my freaking brother the same exact speech.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, he's in nursing school right now. And he's just like, it just feels like the amount of labor I'm doing to what I'm getting, it just doesn't feel good. And I had no sympathy for him. I was just like, I do not care. Because I was in college. I was working as a server every night. I woke mm-hmm. up at 4-5 o'clock in the morning every single day to go to PT.
Yeah.
And I felt like garbage
right.
for 3 years. And you know what? Things are pretty good now. It's yeah. not that bad. I'm not saying that's the way it should be, but that's the way it is.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy because I feel like people just start feeling, and I've done this, I've definitely been in this situation many times, where you start feeling sorry for yourself in the situation, and that just drains your energy. It's like once you stop thinking like about the next step, stop thinking about staying in motion, and mm-hmm. stop thinking about making progress, you start like your energy just kind of gets sucked out of you, and then you're just stuck in this like black hole gravity well where you can't stay motivated.
Headspace matters, man. It's about thinking about like wealth versus, you know, yeah. famine.
Right.
I mean, I think there's a lot of people who are examples of that where they're in really tough situations
mm-hmm.
but they present really well. And I think that how you present yourself to others can be really big on how you view yourself internally.
Right.
So it's like, you know, like shit, they got two kids and they're working a lot, but like you'll see like their Facebook is always positive. Like they're like, hey, look at this. It's like things are going well. Like I love my beautiful kids. I love my husband.
Right.
Like things are hard, but this is my thing.
Right.
And I think that's a very It's a very, very good way to go through life just in general. Like, own your space and let it be yours and be proud of what you do have.
So true, man.
Well, you want to go ahead and call? I think we're over the hour now.
Damn, we did a whole hour?
We did an hour and 15.
What? Are okay. you kidding me? That was right. nuts.
All right, we'll get out of here. You want to go ahead and plug yourself?
Yep. All right. Yep. Thanks for listening, guys. If you're still hanging in there, my name's Wes Kendall. I'm the trainer at Five Star Fitness and master fitness trainer for our unit. And you can follow me at WKendall_MFT on Instagram. Please subscribe and give us a follow and give us some feedback on what you want to hear about more next. So thanks, guys.
And my name's Dimitri. I'm a regular guy who spouts off about things he barely understands. You can find me at Dimitri Sebastian on Instagram. Other than that, I think we'll call it a day.
Thanks, guys.